Seated and good morning. Before I begin my homily this morning, just a word of encouragement. As you are no doubt aware, we find ourselves in our nation at a moment of crisis, and the crisis seems to be coming to a head this week. And so my admonition to you, my encouragement to you, is to pray like never before, to cry out to God that God's perfect will be done on behalf of his people, and don't lose faith. So let me begin this morning by asking you a question. How do you hear the voice of God? Do you believe that you can? Do you? In fact, do you even believe that he speaks to you? In all of my years of pastoral ministry, those questions are among the most common, and the answers to the questions are among the most elusive that I have ever had to address in helping people as they seek guidance in discerning God's will. And yet these questions and how we answer them go to the very heart of who we are as God's people, as children of God. After all, did not Jesus himself say, in speaking of himself as the good shepherd, the sheep follow him and they know his voice? When you think about it, hearing, knowing, and following the voice of God speaks to the very meaning of life itself, doesn't it? Those of us who attended Catholic schools prior to the 1970s were raised on the Baltimore Catechism. On its very first page, the Catechism asked the question, "Who made you?" Answer, "God made me." Next question, "Why did God make you?" Answer, you know what it is. "God made me to know, love, and serve him in this life, and to be happy with him forever in heaven." That, in its simplest terms, is the meaning of life. One of the greatest tragedies of human existence is for a person to go through his or her entire life and die without ever having known why he or she lived. And yet, our world is filled with such people, living aimlessly from day to day, desperately seeking meaning in things that have no ultimate meaning. But one of the great beauties of our faith is that it opens the door for everyone who will embrace it, the opportunity to know God's purpose for your life, to understand what it means to know, love, and serve him in this world, and thus be happy with him forever in heaven. Two of today's scripture readings relate stories of the call of God coming into the lives of common people, revealing God's plan and purpose for their lives. The first one is the Old Testament reading in 1 Samuel chapter 3, where Samuel, a young boy at the time, hears the audible voice of God calling his name in the night. Three times he runs to Eli, the priest, mistakenly thinking that it was Eli who called him. On the third time, the old priest realizes that Samuel is hearing the voice of God, and so he tells him how to respond, and that becomes the young Samuel's inauguration as a prophet of God. In our gospel reading from John chapter 1, we read of Jesus calling two of his soon-to-be apostles by saying to them simply in answer to their question, "Come and see," and they do. Now, it's clear that none of us has the prophetic call of Samuel, nor the apostolic call of the 12. It's also likely that none of us will ever hear the audible voice of God this side of heaven. It's possible, but not likely. And Jesus is no longer walking the earth in bodily form to speak to his disciples in the same way he did in the Gospels. But does God still speak? Does he? Do you believe that he does? Or more to the point, do you believe that he speaks to you? As a priest, I often find myself sharing with people in confession or in pastoral counseling three simple truths that are relevant to this whole topic that I'm talking about here. I may have shared them with you at one time or another. These three simple truths are words to live by for anyone who desires to be a disciple of Jesus. And so it is vital, I believe, for you and me in our life of discipleship to persuade ourselves that they are, in fact, true. So here they are. Number one, God has a plan for your life. Number two, God wants to reveal his plan to you. And number three, as a Christian who is indwelt by the Holy Spirit, you are fully capable of hearing and discerning God's revelation of his plan to you. So let's take a few moments to look at each of these three truths. Again, number one, God has a plan for your life. You know, this is one of those principles that many people readily give assent to when it comes to others, but do so more hesitantly when it comes to themselves. Me, a divine plan? You must be mistaken. You must be kidding. You see, part of the problem is that we compare ourselves with the giants of the faith that we read about in the scriptures or the saints of the church, and for those people, we can easily see a divine plan, can't we? Abraham, Moses, Noah, John the Baptist, the Blessed Virgin Mary, St. Peter, St. Paul, St. Teresa of Calcutta, and so on. Some would say it's obvious God had a plan for them, but me? I'm just one of 7.5 billion people who happen to be living on planet Earth at this time in human history. What kind of plan would God have for me? Well, you know, we read some interesting and very pertinent words in, for example, the 139th Psalm. King David, speaking to God under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit and on behalf of all of us, says this. In verse 16, "Thy eyes beheld my unformed substance. In thy book were written, every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them." Let me read that again. "Thy eyes beheld my unformed substance. In thy book were written, every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there were none of them." This, by the way, is part of the reason why abortion is so detestable in the eyes of God, because it thoroughly thwarts and violates God's sovereign will and plan for the life of an unborn human being. Now, when we talk about God's plan for your life, there are a couple of things that are implied in that concept. One of the most important is this, that the plan involves countless little plans. In a general sense, God's overall plan for your life is the same as his plan for the life of every other person in the world. Let's think about this for a second, what that plan is. A plan to reconcile you to himself by bringing you to a saving knowledge of his Son, Jesus Christ. A plan to make you holy and transform you into the image of Christ. A plan for you to spend your life in friendship with him, in the church, loving God and your neighbor, doing good and leading others to him. And finally, a plan for you to spend eternity with him in heaven. In short, a plan for you to be a saint. That plan is the same for everyone here this morning, everyone, without exception. But beyond that, God also has a specific life plan for you as well, a plan that forms the context and the framework in which his general plan, which I just cited, is to be carried out. And everything about his specific plan for your life is designed to support and foster the general plan. That, of course, relates to one's vocation, but the principle is by no means limited to vocation. The specific plan is fulfilled in carrying out countless choices and decisions and options throughout the course of our lives. I believe, for example, that your being here this morning is part of God's plan. Think of all of the choices, all of the decisions and options that it took for you to get you here this morning. Not just the ones you made this morning, but some that you made going back years and years ago. And so much of the fulfillment of God's plan for you is dependent on your willingness to make choices throughout your life that are in keeping with His will. That's why our free will is at the same time both a precious and fearsome gift from God. Precious because it allows us to choose in favor of God's will. Fearsome because it also allows us to choose not in favor of God's will. Which brings us to the second truth. God wants to reveal His plan to you. Simple, isn't it? But there's something about that revelation that we need to understand. And that is, He doesn't usually reveal it all at once. In fact, He almost never does. In Psalm 37, we read these words, "The steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord." Notice, the steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord. What this is expressing is that more often than not, God's guidance, the way that He instructs us and reveals His will to us, is incremental, step by step. He sees and knows the whole picture, the end from the beginning, as we read in Isaiah chapter 46. But guess what? We don't, and we can't. And so God reveals to us the next step, and as we obey, the next step, and so on, because He wants us to trust in His infinite wisdom and providential care. One of the best examples I know of this in the Bible is the example of Saint Joseph. The angel appeared to him in a dream four separate times. And each time the angel appeared to him, revealed to him only the next step. He didn't reveal the whole plan. He told him what to do next. And Saint Joseph, to his everlasting credit, obeyed completely and without question. So again, God has a plan for your life, and God wants to reveal His plan to you. And finally, you are fully capable of hearing and discerning God's revelation of His plan to you. So how do we hear and discern? This is where it gets interesting. Let me get personal with you for a moment. I don't want this to be about me, but I want to share this with you to illustrate my point. As I look back over the course of my own life, in my mind, I can hold up a handful of things that I have done which I am absolutely certain were ordered of the Lord and part of His specific plan for my life. And I believe so can you. That's not pride speaking, it's simple understanding, because believe me, next to this handful of things I've done right, I can also think of a boatload of things that I've done wrong. How many of you want to hear the boatload? Not a chance. Forget it. But part of the beauty of the Christian walk is that even when we veer off the path, if we are diligently seeking to be faithful to God's will, God's grace, and His Holy Spirit always brings us back on course, always. One of the things in my life that I know beyond a shadow of a doubt was ordered of the Lord was becoming a priest. Even as that call took, as most of you know, a very long and circuitous route in my life. But you want to know how I discerned at a very young age, and when I say a very young age, I mean 11 or 12, that God was calling me to the priesthood? Did I hear it audibly? No. Did an angel appear to me in a dream? No. Did I go on a long retreat and have some mystical experience with God? No again. Then how did I know? Very simply, I knew at the tender age of 11 or 12 that God was calling me to be a priest because I wanted it more than anything in the world. And do you know why I wanted it? Because I grew up in a devout Catholic family in a wonderful Catholic parish around a lot of priests. Good, godly, manly priests who were my boyhood heroes. I wanted to be like them. And over time, I wanted to be one of them. And so at the ripe old age of 13 years and 11 months, I left my home in New Jersey and came to Baltimore to enter the minor seminary, which began 8 years of seminary training. That's pretty simple, isn't it? In fact, it's even a little mundane. But I can tell you that in the role models those priests were to me, God spoke to me, and I heard loud and clear. So let me begin to bring this homily to a close by saying this. We can easily hinder our capacity to hear and discern God's will by believing that God can speak to us in only one or two ways. But God wants so much to reveal His will for you that He will use virtually any means. Sometimes mystical ones like speaking to you in a dream. Sometimes a combination of the spiritual and intellectual as you are reflecting on His word or deep in prayer. And sometimes very simply by the circumstances and experiences of life, or by the earnest desires of your heart, or by things said to you by trusted friends or by persons in authority over you, and ultimately confirmed by the still, small voice of the indwelling Holy Spirit. But brothers and sisters, it's not rocket science. It's not. For us who have the amazing benefit of God's indwelling Spirit, hearing His voice should be as natural as breathing. And hearing and obeying His voice is a sure avenue to knowing, loving, and serving Him in this life and being happy with Him for all eternity in heaven. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.